This episode of Nature of Things was originally aired November 14th, 1991.
I've been on the road a lot the last few weeks, averaging just under 100 miles per day. Included have been trips to Oswego, many. Trips to Ithaca, trips to Chittenango, Pompey Hollow, to South Cook Road. Big, circuitous routes in some cases. The weather has been great for such endeavors, except for a couple of days this week, and I've been able to relive, in a way, a good many of the roadside happenings I like to talk about. I've monitored that rapid transformation from calico colors to fuscous and griseous hues in fields and forests. Now there's a challenge for you, fuscous and griseous. I wouldn't know what they mean either if they weren't used so often in the scientific language of botanists and zoologists. Both are in the dictionary if you want to follow up. Along with this major changeover in the aura of the countryside, there is also the abundant evidence of concomitant changes in the lifestyles of the wildlife, the tendency to flock and to escalate the tempo of activity, looking forward to a variety of challenges dead ahead. We often suggest to each other that this group response defines a major difference between us and the varied wild things with which we share this world. They slavishly repeat the cycles of changeover and pre-preparation for cyclic events, which they can't possibly foresee. At least, we don't believe that birds, mammals, and various cold-blooded hosts have any real inkling that winter is ahead. Only a portion of them have ever experienced it before. We, on the other hand, tend to do everything we can to put off or avoid such inevitable changes. And we do know what's ahead. Perish the thought that we, like sheep, should en masse follow one another blindly and without reason. Whenever a friend or colleague expounds on his individualism, I move to think of fashions, taste and entertainment, food, and especially politics. The last election in this part of the country was a great reminder of how reluctant we often are to look behind the rhetoric. At any rate, I admit that I, like the proverbial sheep, am a traditionalist. Sometimes it seems that all of my past is a part of, if not a determiner, of my present and my future. There are many positive outcomes of this, I think. Like the man who still has his first dollar, I still have every suit, jacket, shirt, and pair of trousers I can still get into. At least once every semi-decade, I'm rewarded by seeing one or two of them coming back into style. I take this state of mind into the field with me, too. As I stop at a favorite roadside vista, I can always predict a major part of what I'm going to see. Fashions don't change much in nature, do they? Still, I am never bored at this repetition of events. There's always a tidbit of new learning, a reinforcement of something I thought I knew, at times even a completely new manifestation to confound me. What I've seen the last few weeks has fit the pattern beautifully. Flocks of robins and crows, robins showing an entirely different face and lifestyle from what we've seen through spring and summer, crows doing essentially what they've always done. But then, there are so many of them now that they show an unaccustomed magnificence. I've also seen some resplendent cock pheasants, more than in a number of years. These birds still maintain an attractive remnant of their springtime ardor and imperiousness, still crowing once in a while in response to any loud noise that resounds of their own cymbal calls. As the hunting season wears on and more hunters are afield, the white-tailed deer is seen more often during the day. I've enjoyed a number of prime views of bucks, a couple of them showing substantial antler development. I regret the circumstances which have prevented me being outside during these weeks which precede the gun season. At no time of the year are deer more demonstrative or interesting than right now. Still, the real show in these few remaining days before winter sets in is the waterfowl. Ducks, geese, swans, rails, and shorebirds. I've seen them all as I've traveled around the last few weeks. It'd be a great idea for you to take to the road, too, before the wetlands freeze over and the whole grand exhibition shifts to a southern arena. Well, that's all I have for today. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.